As dads, some days we feel like we have all the answers, and some days we feel like we don't have a clue. If that describes you, you're at the right place. This is the All Pro Dad Podcast. Welcome to the All Pro Dad Podcast, where in each episode we dive into just one question. We talk about what we've gotten right, mostly what we've gotten wrong, and we explore what the experts say and leave you with one small but powerful pro move. Today, I am joined by three other self-described, slightly above average guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll take that.
Yep. I'm here with Buck and Maddox and BJ. You guys, thanks for joining me. You know, Buck, let's just
dive. Hi, Ted.
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Let's just dive in.
Yeah.
What's the question of the day?
The question of the day is, what is the key to raising a happy kid? And you know me, I always like to come with some stats. Sometimes related, sometimes not, but
you make them work.
Hit us with the numbers.
I do. All right, let me hit you with some numbers. So if we're voting with our dollars, it seems like raising a happy kid is all about money. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you this. In the U.S., the average cost to raise a child to the age of 18 takes an average of $233,610.
Yikes.
Wow.
That number seems very specific to call it an average.
Yeah,
you know, someone did the math.
They're like, it's around about $233,610 and 14 cents. Food takes up 18% of that. Housing takes up 29% of that. Transportation is 15%. Healthcare is 9%. Clothing is 6%. I would challenge that.
Unless you have daughters, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Child care and education is 16%, and miscellaneous is 7%.
You know,
but this doesn't take into account of like paying for college. So 4 years of a public college, which is $80,360, and then over double that for private. So
this is confirming what I've known for quite a while, and that's I can't afford kids.
But BJ, you have kids.
Yeah, and now you know. I can't afford. It's like buying a car that you shouldn't have, but you can't take it back.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't afford this house. Like, do I go into foreclosure on kids?
Kids equals crippling debt. Yeah.
It really does. My brother is an investment guy, and he said to me, he goes, I'm going to tell you how to – you know, make a lot of money. And he goes, but you're not going to like the answer. And I said, what is it? And he goes, don't have kids. Well, that's a little too late for me as a guy. I do think this speaks, though, I think it speaks pretty well to how much we do pour into kids and how much we do sacrifice. Because I'm thinking right now, all the fun I could be having for what I'm spending on college. Do you know the amount of trips that I could go on and the way I could take care of myself, the way I deserve to be treated if I was not paying for college? Mm. Yep. You know?
or like, what about it? Like all the dads that pay for like Little League stuff?
Oh, yeah.
That stuff is expensive.
Oh, yeah. I think the average on that is almost $1,000 a year on extracurricular activities.
Just like travel ball and stuff. Oof.
Oh, yeah. That's one of many sports, though. Think about all the things when they're early on. You have a 3- and 5-year-old that want to try out. You want to do dance. You want to do, you know, t-ball, soccer. You just, you know, go through all that stuff. And that takes money. Then they stick to a sport, and then you're doing that.
Yep. So you're pouring all this into your kids. Yeah. So the question is, how do we raise happy kids? If it's not money, and granted, these are all things that we're going to continue to do. No one's listening to this today I'm not going to spend any more money on my kid because there was this podcast that told me not to. We're not talking about that. These are things that we need to do. But when we talk about happiness, how do we raise happy kids? Research, it's pretty clear on this, and it was pretty fascinating to me as we were prepping for this episode. According to research, the way we do this starts by asking the question, what is your typical response to your child when they're unhappy?
Mm, yeah, counterintuitive.
Like, yeah, like what are you, when you've got littles, Maddox, you've got littles. How old are your kids?
3 and 5.
3 and 5.
Yeah, I got a boy's 3. My daughter Lily's 5.
So when they're unhappy, and here's what we're not talking about today. We're not talking about depression. We're not talking about long seasons of unhappiness. We're not talking about a child has been through a trauma and how they responded to it. We're just talking, hey, our kids are unhappy. Yep. Max, what about you?
Those toddlers can have a range of emotions in 5 minutes. They can go from happy to immediately sad, screaming, throwing tantrums. But I think, you know, it's sitting in that for a second and just kind of letting them process. Mm. Like, you know, express that emotion, even if it is negative. So many times parents want to jump in and fix or distract, right? Or take them out of that, like, sadness or that unhappiness. And you kind of have to just let them sit for a second. Let them process that.
Yeah. Buck, what's your go-to? Your boys are unhappy. What do you do?
Well, I mean, if I'm being honest, my gut reaction wants to be to stop it. Because a lot of times when they're complaining or whining or unhappy, I don't want to hear it just like the next person doesn't, you know? And so like my go-to is to try to either fix it or squash it or just like, no, we're not, I'm not dealing with that right now. This is not the way to do it. And so that's not healthy, I don't think, but there's aspects of it that are, I think, you know? And so, because there's one thing to tell my kid, like, stop acting like that. And then there's another to stop my child from overacting or throwing a tantrum, or I'm not just going to sit around and let them, you know, throw their junk against the wall. We don't, we don't do that. You know, that's not how you should react to this. So that's
BJ, what's your go-to when your kids are unhappy?
I get a lot of anxiety. They're unhappy. I get anxious. I feel like it's a problem I need to figure out and fix. And, it depends on what their emotion is. It's if they're angry, I'm like, I get angry. I'm like, shut up, stop it. Be happy.
Right.
It's not like a shouting, be happy. Yeah.
So you're kind of uncomfortable when they're, so, this is something I'm doing wrong. But the research shows that the key to raising happy kids is to allow them to be unhappy. One child psychologist says it this way. She says, kids know how to be happy. It's the other emotions where they need us the most. There's nothing wrong with doing nice things for your kids when they're unhappy, but it doesn't always address the source of what's upsetting the child. The problem is that parents often have trouble accepting that children are allowed to be angry and sad, unhappy in some way. So we try to cheer them up, or we try to distract them, or we try to discipline them. Why do you guys think we're not okay with our kids being unhappy?
Yeah, tough question, but I think like parents, they want the best for their children. You know, sometimes they build this like idea that it has to be perfect, or like if they're unhappy, it's going to last forever. And it's like, so my kid's going to just turn out to be an unhappy child. So they immediately want to correct it, and they want to fix it, and they want to do something about it. But, you know, it sounds counterintuitive, but you want to kind of lean into that emotion, right?
Or even the fact that I feel like I've poured a lot of effort and time and money invested in creating this life for my children to live, that when they're not happy about it, it feels like a rejection to me, or like a kicking back of like, I don't want this life kind of thing. And I'm like,
almost like you should be happy.
Right. Yeah. You should be happy. Look at all this.
Yeah. Or like you might've messed up as a parent. Like, oh man, I didn't do something right. If they're unhappy with what they have.
Yeah.
So I didn't do something right. Or their unhappiness means they're ungrateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? Are you kidding me? Look at your life. Do you know what my life looked like?
Children all over the world. You got food and a roof over your head. Come on.
Come on.
I walked to school in the snow for miles.
And kids always look back at you and go, oh, you can't. You can't say
no,
that.
No, I meant like, because I live in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, is that going to get us canceled? Okay, walking in the snow, it's going to get us canceled? Oh, man, I'm toast. But it is funny. You know, kids never look at you and go, oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, I do have it way better than you. So thanks. Thanks for adjusting that. I feel better. Yeah. Thanks. But we keep trying.
Yeah.
Don't we keep trying? Yeah. BJ, what do you think? Why do you think that we're not okay with kids being unhappy?
I mean, in the movie, While You Were Sleeping, the patriarch guy, he talks, he's like, you know, you work for the family, you work to provide, you strive, you strain. And for 1 minute, everything's good. Everyone's well, everyone's great. And in that 1 minute, you have peace. And his son looks at him and goes, Dad, this isn't that minute.
No, not today. Sorry, Dad.
And so I think, you know, to kind of Buck's point, we strive and we strain and we sacrifice, and we're doing all these things so that our family has a great life, and so that they can say, I've had a great childhood. And then all of a sudden they're mad and they're sad. and we feel like we failed or that it's fallen short, and it creates anxiety. And it's like, I don't know what to do to make this the best for you. And I'm doing all this work and I'm exhausted and you're not happy.
So at the end of this, so we're thinking about this. Sounds like we're saying, hey, I want you, Maddox, you said it, like long term, I want you to grow up to be happy. So if we're, all right, here's happiness on the end of this thing, and they're not happy, are we thinking, whoa, you're on the wrong road? Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to think, well, like, why we're so afraid of it.
We're also coming from a perspective as dads, having already dealt with all of the emotion, and we know how to respond to stuff. And so then we're kind of projecting on our kids and expecting them to understand, like, the value of the dollar or the things that we've invested or the time that it takes or the work that we put in. And so we're expecting them to understand that or have a concept of that. And all they're trying to do is figure out, what does anger look like? You know, they're just trying to figure out the emotion, and we're taking all of our stuff and putting it on that. And that's not what we should be doing. We should be helping them figure out the emotions.
If we had a bell right now, I'm thinking, oh, there we go. There we go.
Ding, ding.
Yep.
I can think of an instance, too, where we were driving down the street and we saw somebody without a home on the side of the street. And my daughter's, you know, I can just say, just staring, right? And Lily's looking, and I'm like, you know, she, and then finally she processes and is like, I wonder if he's happy. And I'm like, oh, man. Like, you know, you can't protect them from seeing stuff in the world or those types of emotions, no matter how hard you try as a parent or what you want for them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like they're going to be unhappy at some point. You hope it doesn't stick.
Or she has empathy and you think, oh, I hope that she doesn't take that on too much. Like, that'll make her too sad.
Or I hope she doesn't just worry about that the rest of the day.
We don't want them to. Well, and you go, oh, she's having empathy for another person. I remember taking my son to preschool one day, and he sees a dog that has been, you know, was killed by a car.
Yeah.
And I watch him look at it, and I'm thinking, I got to distract him from that. That's
right.
And I said, hey, buddy, would you like this? Okay, this is bad parenting, so get ready. I was like,
let's hear
it. I said,
get your pen out.
Get your pen in. This is bad parenting 101. I said to him, I said, hey, buddy, would you like to get a dog? And he goes, not a dead one. And I was like, okay, all right, there we go. Bad parenting. Well, I think, Buck, did you know what you just said is actually backed by research? Because when we talk about, you know,
I mean, yes, I did know.
You know, that they strength comes from being, this is from a psychologist, Buck, so way to go.
Yeah.
Strength comes from being able to have these pretty intense emotions like anger and handling it and knowing that mom and dad are still there for me. They're not upset with me and they're not going to cast me aside. Mm-hmm. Like, so when I have these, I'm safe. It's okay. It's normal. But just to go, they're not there yet. They're figuring those things out. And we stop them and we stuff them. And then when they're 18, there was like, wait, I didn't get to process that fully.
And so we wonder why our kids can't handle emotions in their later ages. Well, because we stop them from having it.
Or they
stop
they
think, them from feeling it. Yeah.
Or they have the self-doubt. I'm angry. I must be bad. There must be something wrong.
Yeah.
Something wrong with me.
Yeah, you know what that reminds me of? The scene in Old School with Will Ferrell when he's at the beginning, like in the appointment, he's like, "Are we not in the trust tree?" You know, you want to create this like this environment where they can, you know, come to you. You want as a dad, I want my children to come to me when they're feeling that emotion.
You want to be the trust tree.
The trust tree. I want to be the trust tree.
Yeah, Brené Brown talks about, you know, like you show me a wife who sits with her husband while he's down and depressed and doesn't try to put a silver lining on it. And I'll show you a woman who's done tremendous work. I'll show you a husband, if you've got a husband who's able to sit with his wife while she's down, depressed, angry, upset, without just saying like, I filled up the dishwasher, like, leave me alone.
Right.
You know, if you can sit with them in that pain and that discomfort, I'll show you a man who's done tremendous work.
And you'll watch, and this is stereotyping, but typically women are way better at this than men because we're fixers typically. And some women are fixers. But I think for us, we want to fix, and we want that looks painful, and I want to fix this, and I want to help you.
Empathy doesn't come naturally for guys, I think.
It doesn't. And just, you know, saying, hey, you know, you're hurting, and that's understandable. My 23-year-old said to me, and we talked about this on another episode, when I asked him, I said, what are some words you long to hear? And he said, it's okay to be sad. And I'm thinking, he didn't get that from me. So, and he didn't say that he didn't get that from me, but I'm thinking, he didn't get that from me. And it is okay to be sad. So that is a parenting fail that hopefully you guys cannot repeat. It says, research reports that most importantly, we need to understand that your child's negative emotions will always pass, barring the presence of any major traumatic events. Assuming that their life is okay, they're going to be happy. Like, in other words, at least there's a traumatic event that most of these, they're going to pass. Like, it's like feelings, you know, they're like the clouds, you know. Yeah. Counselor told me that one time. He said, you are so afraid of feelings. Just so they know, Ted, they're going to go away. Yeah. Like, I'm so afraid of getting stuck. So yeah. that they're going to pass.
Yeah, and sometimes they may feel like they're not, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have a bad dream. You think you're just going to, they wake up and have a nightmare and they're scared to death. It's like, that's going to go away, you know, just give it some time. Mm. I think that's important that they have that confidence, right? That they're not going to be stuck in that emotion.
I think what doesn't go away, though, is what we impress on them as a response to emotions. And I think that's why this is important for us to get right of how do we respond to our kids when they're feeling emotions and when they're expressing their emotions. Because what we do, it's almost like it's like the trigger thing of, you know, whenever this happens,
fight or flight.
Pavlov, maybe, or something like
Pavlovian
that.
Dog Pavlovian dog stimulus.
You're a doctor now, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Armchair doctor.
It's happening right before our very eyes. Yeah.
But it's this idea that, you know, the more that we respond in a certain, even negative way to our child's emotion, the more that they are going to either not express that emotion anymore or, you know, unhealthily express it in a certain way in the future, because we keep impressing on it. So that, like, to me, like, those are the things, the emotions will pass if we let them play themselves out and, but still have parameters around it. Cause that's the thing, like I said in the beginning, I want my child to know what it feels like to be angry, but I don't think it's right for them to throw their toys against the wall.
Right.
Like, so there's parameters around helping them feel these emotions, but causing or creating an atmosphere of grace for our kids to feel those emotions, I think is important.
Yeah. And I think it's also too important to figure out the why behind the emotion. Right. Yeah. And I also, this relates to marriage too. So many times I've ruined a moment with my wife. If she comes in the door and has had a bad day and I don't meet her there and I can ruin it and stunt that growth. It could have gone somewhere great if I would have just listened, right? If I would have just listened to my kids and figure out, why are you feeling that way? Mm. Ask them some good questions.
Well, you guys, we could talk about this for a long time. I think what we're saying is, like, we tend to be afraid of emotions. Mm. And so we don't want to make them afraid of emotions. Like, when they see them coming, when we react with, oh, I don't know what to do with this. This is making me afraid that you're feeling these things. It's just, hey, it's okay to feel these things. It's okay to be unhappy sometimes. It is okay. And if you're listening to the research, that's the key, is just allowing them to be unhappy. And I think you can add in a loving way, you know, in a loving way, you're going to have to do that. Well, you guys, this is a lot to get our heads around, but it's so important. It's not a message that I was taught as a parent. And I feel like my wife and I were pretty intentional about learning, and I wish I could go back and do this. And it sounds like you guys are doing a way better job of this than me. And
Matt, doubt it.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Work in progress.
Yeah.
All right, Buck, you know what time it's for?
It's time for our pro move. So pro move today. We have something simple, but all you need to do this week is watch how you respond when your child is unhappy. Just be intuitive, be attentive to your response to their emotion.
I like that. Thank you, Buck.
And see if you need to change anything.
Thanks, Buck. And thanks for all of you for listening. We know that you and your kids will be glad you did. Thanks for listening to the All Pro Dad podcast. All Pro Dad is the fatherhood program of the nonprofit Family First. Along with our motherhood program, iMom, we exist to help you love your family well. Subscribe to our daily email, the All Pro Dad Play of the Day, by going to allprodad.com/subscribe and get daily, powerful, and practical fatherhood tips in your inbox. The All Pro Dad podcast is hosted by me, Ted Lowe, produced by Bobby Lewis.